And actually, I don't have my. I'm gonna have to wait until it loads so you can read your title. I forgot my book. Okay, Carl Bolster will be presenting on using a phosphorus loss model to evaluate and improve P indices. Carl.
Hi, thank you, Nathan. I'm going to set my stopwatch here because I know I'm going to be hurting for time. Well, just want to thank Nathan for inviting me to give this talk. This, what you're going to see here is some work that kind of was an outgrowth of our SARA 17 committee meetings that Andrew talked about earlier today. And this work, I'm working with Peter Bottas, Andrew Sharpley, and John Laurie. So, what are the factors that affect a p-index accuracy? That's really ultimately what we want to get to. We want our indexes to be accurate. Well, if we just lump them into three general factors. One, are the important processes included? If leaching is an important component in your state and you do not have that included in your index, well, your index is unlikely to be very accurate. The accuracy of the input parameters. This was brought up, Darren mentioned this. If you don't have good estimates of erosion and runoff potential, you're not unlikely going to have a very accurate output from your index. Garbage in, garbage out. Thirdly, is the index properly formulated? So even if you had good input parameters, if the index is improperly formulated, and what I mean is, are the transport and source factors properly formulated, and are those factors or components properly weighted? Now, recognizing the importance of all three, today I'm just going to talk about some work we're looking at this for this third factor. So we have two basic objectives in this work. First is to compare two different PI formulations, what we call the multiplicative and the component. Talk about that. And secondly, to test whether output from a P-loss model, in particular Peter's apple model, can be used to improve the weights on a phosphorus index. So if we look at index formulations, there are generally three that we can group, three formulations that indices can be grouped into. In the original index formulation was additive. You had individual factors that were weighted, summed to get the total, the final P index value. Now, Bill Geburek and colleagues came along and pointed out that this formulation did not adequately capture the importance of critical source areas. So they proposed what we call a multiplicative formulation, in which the transport factors and the final P index value is the summation or is the product of the summed transport factors and the summed source factors. This better captures critical source areas. They showed that it improved an index's ability to or correlated better with observed P loss. And as a result, it was incorporated in the Pennsylvania P index and many others after that. What probably has not been recognized is there's also a potential limitation with this formulation. By separating out our transport and source factors, I'm going to show that there's some potential limitations, some problems that probably have not been adequately addressed or appreciated. Going back to our idea of basing our index on a phosphorus loss model, a process-based model, our process-based models do not use this approach. So the third formulation, and I'm going to call a component formulation here, and that is an index in which the final value is determined by summing up the phosphorus loss from each individual pathway or component leading, you know, that leads to P loss from a field. In this case, each component is a product of a transport and a source term, and it may or may not be weighted depending on how it's formulated. This formulation is most consistent with our process-based models. It's most consistent with how we understand phosphorus loss occurring in the fields. And as a result, our hypothesis is that the component index will provide better estimates of P loss risk than the multiplicative index. So using the Pennsylvania P index as an example, and again, we're just using it as an example, not because any perceived deficiencies with the index. It's just it was the first to use a multiplicative index. Many PIs have been based upon this index. So if we assume a conductivity of 1 and negligible leaching potential, the Pennsylvania index is going to look like this. Our transport factors are in red. So we have erosion, runoff potential, and a contributing distance factor. And our source factors are in black. So here we have in soil test P, manure P applied as manure, and fertilizer P. Now, if we multiply this out, we get this. And if you look at this, there are three potential problems that with this formulation. The first being that now we have our applied P sources multiplied by erosion rates. Okay, so this is not really what this formulation was intended to do. We're kind of, if you will, double counting, double dipping as far as our applied P. We know that it's going to affect dissolved P and runoff, but this formulation really does not adequately capture what might be happening as far as particulate P loss increases with applied P. Secondly, the weighting on the runoff from soil test P is the same as that from particulate P loss. And again, that would not be consistent with our understanding of the mechanisms involved and the differences between dissolved runoff P from soil and particulate P loss. And then the third is this contributing distance factor, which can have a value as high as 9. When formulated like this, it's possible that the index may overpredict risk of P loss when erosion and runoff are low. Now, the advantage to this would be is it may add in an additional safety factor. So let's say a contributing distance factor of 9, if you're within 100 feet of a receiving water body. Let's just say that the risk of erosion and transport are low based on how you calculate that. The actual risk may be low, but since it's so close, having this contributing distance factor is going to kind of artificially elevate your index value. So from a safety perspective, if you will, an environmental perspective, it might be okay. But if you're looking at correlating this index with edge of field runoff data, it could be problematic. So with this objective, we want to compare the output from the unmodified Pennsylvania P index with two modifications. Our first modification is we remove the contributing distance factor, and because we remove that factor, we're now scaling by 7.5, which really is equivalent to scaling by 15, and those interested can ask me afterwards why, but instead of going from 24 to 15 because we removed that 9 factor. The second modification is to remove our terms where erosion rate is multiplied by P application rates. And essentially what this makes is a component index. We now have an index where we have 4 pathways. Dissolved P from our soil, dissolved P in runoff from applied manure, applied fertilizer, and then particulate P loss. So now just making these small modifications, we have what we would call a component index. So using the data, the validation data set that Peter briefly talked about in his model, we use those data with these indices and compare to see if there are any differences. So if we take the unmodified original Pennsylvania index, you see the correlation here and between the measured P loss and the index values. You see a significant amount of scatter. This is linear axes and this is on log plot. You can see the regression is not that great. Statistically significant because of the number of data points, but not particularly impressive. If we were to remove our contributing distance factor, we do see a better correlation. Again, because of the way that's formulated and that contributing distance factor of 9, because we were using edge of field. We're comparing it with edge of field data. Both the untransformed and log transformed data, you see a better correlation. Okay, so this is a multiplicative index just with the component factor or the contributing factor removed. Here we have our component index. Now, you see that it generally is very similar. However, the correlation here is slightly reduced. This goes against our hypothesis that the component index, because it's formulated more consistent with our process-based models, should provide better correlations with measured PLOS. Now, a couple reasons for this. Number one is it's not uncommon to get the right answer for the wrong reasons. In modeling, that's not uncommon, and you have to look beyond that. Second, if we go back, remember we said kind of a third potential problem with this is we have the same weight on our runoff and our particular PLOS component. There we go. If we were to remove this 0.2 value, now we do see a slight improvement. We go from 0.21 to 0.34. So we do see a slight improvement. Also need to point out that with this data set, there's about 250 points, and only a couple dozen of those were the scenarios, the management practices such that there was enough erosion and enough P application to have any significant differences between the two formulations. So for this data set, it's going to be hard to see very many differences between the two formulations. Now, that's not to say that the differences are not important. Okay, so our second objective was, can we use a phosphorus loss model to update or even determine our weights on a phosphorus index? Of course, ideally, weights should be developed and based on measured phosphorus loss data. As has been pointed out, these data sets are very limited. They're costly. They're very difficult to conduct. So what we proposed and what we're testing here is that why not obtain our weights from a process-based PLOS model that has been established, has been validated, has good science behind it. Why not base our index on that particular model? Okay, so in this study, we generated simulated PLOS data with the Apple model using Monte Carlo simulations, which essentially we define a range for our input parameters, randomly select values for the various input parameters, put in the model. The model generates phosphorus loss. You store that point, and you repeat it over and over and over again. And in this case, we did it 10,000 times. So then you get this large data set of phosphorus loss, and then you, at the same time, you keep the data, you store the data, your input data. So you can correlate the two. So we have this output data. We can take our indices. We can use regression and get weights for our p-index equations and see if we can improve our correlation between this index and this data set. So basically, we're modifying this, and all we're doing is we're just placing weights. This is the multiplicative form, and now we have five weights because we have five factors. Our component index, we have four components, and we have four weights. Now, if you try and fit this, because of the way it's formulated, you'll never get a unique solution because you're going to have a combination of two parameters. So to do this, we set this weight to 1. One of these had to be fixed at 1. So this is what we did with this weight on runoff. Because we were looking at a large range of values, we used log transform data. That allowed the lower values in the regression to have more emphasis, if you will, on the weighted values, on the values of these weights. So let's just take a look at what we get. So the original index, we have 0.2 value for W1, and the rest have a value of 1. Now our fitted, based on fitting our simulated data, we can see that here we have a range of factor of 5, but the weights here range by a factor of several orders of magnitude. So a big difference. Here are some goodness of fit statistics between these two, the multiplicative and the component formulations. You can see in each case, this is for the log transformed, and this is for the untransformed data. And you can see that in each case, the root mean square error, the mean absolute error, the mean absolute percent error are all lower for the component index than the multiplicative, which we would expect because the component index is formulated, is more consistent with our model. And secondly, because we used a large range of values for this, we had a significant number of scenarios in which erosion and P application rates were significant. So the differences between the two formulations were substantial and occurred quite often as opposed to our observed data set. So let's take a look. If we use our fitted weights and our multiplicative formulation, this is a correlation that we see. We see that it does improve from our previous, I think we had an R squared at 0.27, now we're at 0.43. If we use a component index with our fitted weights, now we see a much better correlation for the untransformed data. The transformed data is the log transformed is pretty much the same, and again, that's due to the fact that only a few number data points, there are significant differences between the formulations because of the management conditions. Another thing to notice, an advantage of this approach, is now our index, instead of having just a general kind of relative value, generates a number that has units with it, in this case, kilograms per hectare. So we can now get our indices, if we choose to do this, that actually calculate P loads rather than a relative risk. And this could be important if you want to tie this into things such as TMDLs and just general water quality. Just as a comparison, there's with a full apple model, as you would expect, the full model does produce better predictions. One thing I want to note, and this kind of goes back to, I think, what Darren had said, is even in this case, we're using measured runoff, we're using measured erosion. Look at the amount of variability on this log plot between predicted and measured. That's significant. And we have the median absolute percent error of over 50%. So even under these idealized conditions, there's a lot of variability, a lot of uncertainty. And when we use the p-index, we have to acknowledge that. We have to incorporate it, understand it, and of course we have to work at reducing it, but at the same time we can't pretend that it's not there. And we just have to be, I think, very forthcoming with that. This just shows with a data set that we're using, there are only a couple dozen, like I said, that had high enough erosion, because the only difference between that multiplicative and component index is going to be when erosion rates and P application rates are significant. So why we didn't see huge differences for this data set between the two formulations is because this data set only had a couple out of the 250, only had a couple dozen scenarios in which erosion and P application rates were high. So comparing all modifications, you know, in the original, we had an R squared for this data set of 0.11 for the untransformed, 0.17 for the log transformed data. If we use our fitted weights, our component index, we now up to, you know, significant improvement in R squared. Again, I understand the limitations with R squared in general, but I think just visual inspection shows that there was a noticeable improvement. So, in conclusions, I think from a theoretical, mathematical viewpoint, we can show, and I think, you know, Josh alluded to this before, you know, the component formulation just better represents the processes controlling P loss than the multiplicative index. For the scenario that I just showed you, using weights obtained by fitting the apple data generated noticeable improvements in the correlation between our index and our observed P loss data. Now, I just want to say a caveat here. I'm not advocating the incorporation of these weights into the Pennsylvania P-index. This is just, the intent of this was just to show this is a method that we could possibly use to either evaluate our weights on our indices, and if depending on how well our index is doing, maybe to actually obtain and update these index weights. This method can be used with any P-loss model and phosphorus index. It's quite easy with Peter's model because of its annual time step, and it's very simple to use. It can produce PIs that calculate P loads, again, important for water quality purposes. And it's really important to notice that even with measured erosion runoff, the uncertainty is still quite high. And again, we need to recognize that and acknowledge that in the outputs of our phosphorus indices. So, do I have time for any questions?
No.
No? Okay.
Let's go ahead and thank Carl for the presentation.